Time now for KRWG's StoryCorps. When StoryCorps visited Mesilla and El Paso in February, StoryCorps recorded conversations between loved ones from our communities. Each Wednesday morning at 8:49 and at 5:48 in the afternoon, we will bring you these stories. Today we meet Aubrey Lewis and wife Susan Barnum as they tell their love story. Aubrey talks about suffering from PTSD after serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, and her transition from male to female, and how Susan embraced the change.
The first time I saw you, I thought you had great legs. And
my only attribute.
And then you came into the desk and you were talking to me. You told me about the Wounded Warriors program, and I thought that was really neat because I'd never heard of it before. And then you asked me out. And in the stacks, we're standing there by the astronomy books, actually, in the 500s.
So you were starstruck.
Yeah, starstruck. And and you asked me, and I said, but I have kids.
And I definitely told you that you should never, ever feel ashamed that you have your children.
Right. And then I said, but I can't go out with you tonight because I have I'm taking the kids out to McDonald's to go on the play area. And then I asked if you wanted to come, and you said you did. And so we went out, and at McDonald's, even though it's like my least favorite place in the whole world, that was one of the most wonderful things that ever happened to me, because you asked me if I had a platter and I could put all the things I wanted in the future on it, what I would want. And no one had ever asked me anything like that before, or even really cared that much about what I saw or wanted for the future. And I was really struck by that, and it really meant a lot to me. And so I really enjoyed our time together that night. And then we went out to eat at Applebee's on our first date, and you kissed me in the truck, and right after you kissed me, you said, "I love you," and I was like, "Well, you move fast."
Yeah, I believe that was my first kiss with you.
So that was really cool. And then that night, you called me up, and we were talking about a lot of things, and that's when you started sharing your past and about the things that had happened where you'd lost your team members, your friends. And I felt really honored that you were sharing all of that personal, very deep experiences that you'd had. And they were obviously very painful and very hurtful. And we talked for like hours. And then I said, "Why don't you come over?" And you came over and we kept talking. And it was just really, I just felt honored that you shared all that with me. And it really touched me. I'd never been let into someone's life to that degree before, and all this was happening so quickly for us, and we're just like connecting.
And some of the stories I was talking about was, I talked about my unit. I used to work with a special ops unit, and I was their medic. I was a corpsman, is what I was when I was in the Coast Guard and when I worked in the Navy, and then I was a flight medic the rest of my career. So unfortunately, I had the bad opportunity to see a lot of death in my field of work. And a lot of my close friends had died from the war. So I didn't like having to go to their funerals or fold a flag up and tell their wife how good their husband was and how sad I am that they had to leave, or to look at their kids and to feel how I felt about them, you know, knowing that they don't have a dad and I don't have a way to really explain it to the kids. You know, and some of the parents, the wives would look at me, and I felt pretty much like it was an issue that I could not talk to them, because I didn't really know how to explain myself to them, because I felt sometimes it was my fault, because since I was their doc, and I felt like sometimes I let them down. And
And you really just, you needed to talk about these things. Like, you had no one to talk to. Your ex-wife she didn't really listen or respond. And you'd had really bad PTSD moments at home where you'd had flashbacks even, and you were like fully almost there. And you know, I had continued to see that in our relationship. I'd seen you have flashbacks, or you'd call me up and it was as if you were there. And I'm like,
yeah, I had a lot of dark moments. You know, I'd have to call her up, because there were some times where I had some suicidal tendencies, and I had to call her over to help me out. And I would just I'd be in a bad place quite often because I would start crying or things would be out of my control or the fireworks would go off and that would scare me to death because I thought it was something else. And it's amazing to have a friend every single day of my life right next to me and somebody who I can talk to and she's not scared to listen. And I also have what they have called another disorder, which is called gender identity disorder. And I call it gender identity crisis, which is GIC. And what that is it's when you are a man turned into a female. And so they call it transgender. And it's a long process because especially in the military, all my guys that worked with me and under me, they were just like, whatever Aubrey wants to do, he needs to do because it's his life and we support Aubrey all the way. But when I first came out and told Susan that I'm
really scared
that I'm transgender, yeah, I was really scared. I thought for sure that I was going to lose a really important person to me because I've never had a person who cared.
Yeah, I remember how nervous you were when you told me. And then I said, well, will you try on my sweater?
Oh, my God. She started trying to dress up.
And because I just wanted to see. I was like, well, you're transgender. I wanted to know more about what that was. And then, you know, I did a lot of research on the internet and found out more about what transgender was. And it's really misunderstood, we found. And a lot of people treat you like you're a freak. And then you even get it from, well, we, you know, since we have, since we're raising my two kids, we often get people trying to tell us, well, your kids are going to have a hard time. You know, people are going to make fun of them. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about that, though. And they do get picked on sometimes, and we just try to help them be as strong as possible.
It was really pleasing, actually, to have the guys of my unit be so accepting. There was nobody who ever gave me any problems.
Except for that one guy. The motorcycle guy, remember?
Oh.
Yeah, he was a real jerk about it.
Yeah, and that person, I saved his life too. So, but
yeah,
it was all okay because everybody has to deal with it in their own way.
Exactly. Yeah, some people just feel like almost like they're betrayed because you had like as if you had a secret and you didn't let them in on it. But it's really hard to come out to yourself sometimes even. You know, that's something that you really struggle with.
Well, I have to say, too, that the biggest thing that about our relationship that I've totally loved was when, you know, I didn't think I could ever love again. I didn't think I could open my heart and let somebody in or be part of that. So, as you remember, I always try to push you away. You know, I was like, okay, well, this relationship's going great, but I don't want to get any further.
Right. And sometimes you'd be scared that you couldn't, you know, learn to love our, you know, my children as mm-hmm. well. And
because I was so scared because I didn't want
to lose people again.
Well, that and since my children were up in North Texas, I was just like, I can't, how can I love your children if I can't even have my own with me? Mm-hmm. So I felt like I was kind of not sharing the love properly until I finally realized that it was possible to be a good parent. So,
and you know, and it's, you can be a good parent to your stepchildren and still love your own children. And I always feel like love is something that the more people you love, it doesn't like divide your heart into fractions. It's somehow the only thing that multiplies the more that you add something to. And that's why I'm always telling Ray, it's like the only thing that's magic in this world is love. And no, there's nothing else. Because how can you have something that the more people you love, it grows, you know?
Exactly.
It's pretty amazing.
Aubrey Lewis and wife, Suzanne Barnum. From a conversation in Mesilla, recorded by StoryCorps and heard right here on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. We are KRWG Las Cruces, public media for Southern New Mexico and West Texas.